What if you grew up looking like a famous recording artist, but you never heard of him, and later in life, you are his tribute singer, and members of the original band, they think you are outstanding. We're going to talk to Rick Schuller today. He's a John Denver tribute singer, all on St. Louis in Tune. Welcome to St. Louis in Tune, and thank you for joining us for fresh perspectives on issues and events with experts, community leaders, and everyday people who are driving change and making an impact that shapes our society and world. I'm Arnold Stricker here with Mark Langston, who's a wonderful music lover.
I am.
You used to spin the vinyl.
I did, originally, back in the 70s. Yes, I did.
You're one of the mainstays of the St. Louis
the old
vinyl
rock,
spinning.
The old rock and roll days, that's true. Yeah. I don't know if I should admit any of this. Yeah, I know.
We were calling you out just because of the...
That's when disc jockeys were disc jockeys, when we actually did a disc. Put it on the turntable, cue it up, and then hit the play button.
Let it roll.
Oh, yeah. It was a lot of fun. Those days are... They're gone, but they were a lot of fun.
And I know you met a lot of famous artists back in the day.
Yes.
And in studio, Rick Schuller is here. He's a singer-songwriter adventurer and John Denver tribute singer. And what's interesting, he makes his home in L.A. Mm-hmm. He was born in Monroe, Louisiana.
Really? Monroe?
And he grew up in St. Louis.
I love that.
But we won't ask him where he went to high school. Rick, welcome to St. Louis in Tune.
It's great to be here, Arnold and Mark.
That's great.
So Southwest and Eureka.
Okay, there we go. We just solved everything there, as St. Louisans do all the time. When did you realize you wanted to do this?
Well, it's funny. I think it was around 2010. A buddy of mine took me to Las Vegas. And I was a guest on the Liberace show that was opening there with a friend. And I was there for a month, and I just came to the sound check and did a couple songs, and they wouldn't let me leave. And that's when I started doing the shows. And it was fun because I saw on the internet these guys. I was out of work at the time in between contracts. And I saw these guys trying to imitate John Denver, and I thought, gosh, I could smoke those guys, and I'm not even trying. I don't imitate him, but it's fun. It's been a real pleasure and an honor.
Now, if you're watching on YouTube or Facebook, you will see the uncanny resemblance. If you're listening on the radio, I can tell you, if he was walking down the street, you would think it was him. Mm-hmm. You would think it was John Denver,
right.
Folks.
That's true.
So you grew up, did people say, gosh, you look like John Denver, because... I don't know how old you are. Don't tell us. But he was singing
it's a
when
military
Mark.
Secret.
He was singing when Mark and I was. Yeah, I'll have to kill you after the show.
Right?
We knew John Denver. We didn't.
Oh,
know
you knew
him.
John.
No, we didn't know. We knew of his songs. Okay. And he was our era singer.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But when did people say, "Man, you look like John Denver"? Was those round glasses?
It's funny because as a kid, you don't really think, and I don't really think about who I look like. I've heard people say other things. But it's interesting is that John Denver was so popular at the time, and I had to wear glasses, which I just hated the things. And as soon as I put the glasses on, people were telling me that I looked like John Denver. An airline pilot was the first one that said, "Oh, we have my little sisters, and we have John Denver too." And I thought, "Huh, who's John Denver?" And when I found out, I was like, "Oh, that's the guy on the radio. I love his music." Those songs were playing on the radio, Rocky Mountain High and Country Roads and Sunshine on My Shoulders, all those lovely songs. And I just was very honored, and it was very inspired. And it turned out that his voice sounded like me, which I thought was really weird. I thought it was really strange, actually.
So what about his songs?
So you were adopted, right?
Yeah! A lot of people have questioned my mom, actually, about my parentage. But
okay, just check it. All right.
Keeping it real.
Keep it real, baby.
What about his music? I know you mentioned you really liked some of the melodies. Was it that? Was it the words? Was it all the combination?
Oh, man. But John is such a poet, and really his music is so adventuresome and beautiful and melodic and harmonic. And quite frankly, one would think that some of the love songs were overly sentimental, but they're actually not. And the more that I've come to grow into this music and grow up with it, I just love it even more and more. It just grows on you.
It's wonderful.
Now, we're having Rick in because he's actually performing, has performed already at the Westport Playhouse, and he has 1, 2, 3 more days. May the 10th at 7:30, that's today, mm-hmm. folks. Tomorrow, May the 11th at 2 p.m. and 7:30, Sunday at May 12th at 2 p.m., good Mother's Day show.
Oh, yeah.
Take mom there. Kids, figure that out. Husbands, if you haven't got that last-minute gift, this would be a great one. You can go to MetroTix, MetroTix.com, or call 314-534-1111. And here's a key thing you'll only find here on St. Louis in Tune. Use the promo code SUNSHINE to save half-off tickets.
Half off, that's fantastic. Wow. Is it in the round? I guess it is. Are you in the round there?
I don't know what it is. It's not in the round, but it's interesting. Yeah. I was in the round in 1984 on a Jack Carney show,
which is
a whole story into itself.
Right, I bet.
That's the last time and only time I'd ever been there. Mm-hmm. It was a long time ago. And that was all because some gal saw me at a concert and wrote the radio station to try to find me.
Mm-hmm.
And so they asked everybody in St. Louis on the radio if anybody knew me. And one
track
guy,
them down.
Yeah, one guy gave him my number, and Jack called me and invited me on the show, which was a hoot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Jack. Yeah. He was crazy.
We're not going to play any John Denver songs. We're not even going to play Rick's recordings. We're going to listen to Rick play live in studio and hear him.
Can we bootleg these?
Sure.
And then we'll hear from his agent.
Okay, all right. Just ask.
What have you got to play for us, Rick?
Sure, anything. Maybe we'll do... this song, Almost Heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River. Life is old there, older than the trees, younger than the mountains, growing like a breeze. Country roads, take me home to the place I belong, West Virginia, Mountain Mama, take me home down country roads. All my memories that gathered round her, miner's lady, stranger to blue waters, dark and dusty, painted on the sky, misty taste the moonshine, teardrop in my eyes. Country roads, take me home to the place I belong, West Virginia, Mountain Mama, take me home down country roads. I hear her voice in the morning hour as she calls me. The radio reminds me of my home far away. And driving down the road, I get a feeling that I should have been home yesterday. Country roads, take me home to the place I belong, West Virginia, Mountain Mama, take me home down country roads, take me home down country roads, take me home down country roads.
Great.
Thank you.
Wow.
That's fantastic.
Is that a lovely song?
It's a great song.
Thank you, Rick, for
playing
that. We lost, when we lost John Denver, we kind of lost that live element of it all, and you bring it right back. Thank you.
Thank you.
For that commitment that you have to this music.
It's
honestly
a lovely thing to do, man.
It is.
I love doing this.
It fills your heart. Yes, yeah. It does. Thank you.
That's part of our our collective consciousness and unconsciousness.
And to have it live like that, thank you. I just keep saying thank you.
It takes you back to it. When I was listening, I knew all the words.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. It takes you back.
Yeah.
But
to things that you know, and really a time when a lot of people talked about his songs about protesting and things like that. Nothing. But there's, like you said, Mark, there's something about that music.
Yeah, when it's live like that. We can see it on YouTube and listen to the records and things like that. But to hear it live like this, in its raw fashion, I think, and that's what it is.
Yeah, it's really different.
Thank you for doing it. Your commitment to it—it's great to.
I love singing so much.
It was so much of a part of. I'm sorry to keep it around. It was so much a part of who we are as a society. So Art, go ahead. I'm sorry. I'll stop now.
No, I'm honored. I honestly, truth be told, I used to make this joke that I have more fun than the law allows.
Right.
That's never been more true. But truth be told, it's really, this music is, it needs to be heard. It needs to be sung. And what's really funny is when the audience sings with me, there's an esprit de corps. There's a beautiful feeling.
I
and
bet.
It's such a deep underpinning of our culture and all the good things about America.
Absolutely.
I think.
Good.
And you perform with, you even perform with some members of his old band.
Yeah. You know, the guy that wrote Grandma's Featherbed, Jim Connor, is a very dear friend of mine, and I do a couple of his songs. He's got a song that's really fun called 10-Pound Possum. He wrote Grandma's Featherbed, and I do that song as well. And several other friends, the guy that wrote Thank God I'm a Country Boy, he's a good friend of mine too, and also John's manager, and several others. Really, really wonderful people. And John, everything I've ever heard about John is just amazing. He's just one of the most tremendously gifted people, and really we're so thankful to have him, a national treasure.
So what did the manager and the bandmates say when they first met you or first heard about you going to do this?
What's interesting, talk about intimidation.
Right.
I mean, these people knew John. And what's funny, Hal had told me, Hal Thaw, and his wife told me, look, Rick, we knew John and know you and we love you for who you are. It's a different with a star because it's easy to objectify someone. But when you know them personally, John was his own person. But the beautiful thing is that there's also an aspect of his music being really ours too. And John is ours also in a sense. So it's really interesting is that they've said some wonderful things to me. Hal says that I'm the best interpreter of John's music.
That's interesting.
And I love that.
Yes.
Good way to put it. Good way to put it.
And then it's not an imitation. It's not a, it's really, and I get to put perspective on John where John himself couldn't put perspective on himself.
Right.
And quite frankly, some of the stories, and I quote some of the poems and some of the, some of the beautiful things, like John said, love is what makes us do great things.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that a beautiful quote?
Yeah. That is.
It's what gives us courage and strength. It's what sends us out into the world to face whatever may come.
Mm.
John Denver.
Wow.
Isn't that far out?
Yeah, that is really. It's far out.
It's like totally profound.
It
is. Know?
Wow.
I haven't heard far out for a long time either.
Believe me, I've been trying to exercise that out of my
That's kind of part of the persona, though, right?
The funny thing is, John said it so much. I said it as a kid when I heard him say it. And quite frankly, it's become part of my vernacular. I've tried to replace it with fantastic, but it just don't work.
No. Far out's
just
better.
Some things just stick.
That's
You'll bring it back.
Let's bring back Far Out, man. Maybe we'll bring back Groovy and a couple other ones.
There you go.
Oh, my.
It's Arnold Stricker with Mark Langston of St. Louis in Tune. We're talking to Rick Schuler. He's a John Denver tribute singer, but you've got your own songs, 4 albums on iTunes, things you've written yourself.
Yeah.
And I was reading about a song that Rainmaker, a theme song that plays in 35 million homes each week.
Yeah, that was a song that I wrote for a group called Rainmaker TV, and they interview all these philanthropists around the world. And so they asked me to write a song for them, and my buddy Buster Acri and I produced it. And we did that a few years ago, and it's fun because that was a lot of fun. It was a little bit more up-tempo song, and it was fun, you know. It was a fun song to write, and there's a lot of songs. I have a new album called Colorado, where we did 12 songs, 4 of John's songs, hit songs, and then 8 of mine, and 3 couple I co-wrote with Keith Follissey, my producer, and we did that at the Sound Emporium in Nashville. Wow. And that's coming out, Lord willing, in the fall.
Wow.
Yeah. His website is Rick Schuler Music, S-C-H-U-L-E-R, rickschulermusic.com. And also, I just want to remind folks, Rocky Mountain High Experience starring Rick Schuler is live on stage at the Westport Playhouse. Get tickets at MetroTix, and don't forget to use the promo code SUNSHINE to save half off tickets. That plays the May 10th, 11th, and 12th right now. You're big into archaeology also.
Oh, yeah.
So how does somebody who does what you're doing have this archaeological fervor?
When I moved from St. Louis in 94, I moved out to California and took up surfing and archaeology.
A surfer.
Yeah, right. And it's kind of funny. The archaeology, I met Dr. Randall Price, who wrote several books on the Dead Sea Scrolls and became the dig director at the Qumran Plateau in 2002. And I started on the ground floor with them. And we dug the whole southern end of the plateau of Qumran for 10 years, five dig seasons. And then we moved into the caves and the cliffs, and we dug five of them. And the first cave we found, we discovered a new Dead Sea Scroll fragment, first found in 60 years.
Wow.
We made the cover of National Geographic in December 2018 and Time Magazine and several popular magazines around the world with our Dead Sea Scroll fragment. Mm. And I found a pair of pickaxes, ancient pickaxes, that are over 2,000 years old.
Oh, wow.
And they think that's actually the find of the dig. Yeah. I was digging this little crevice in the tunnel of a cave that we were digging in, and Dr. Price said, Rick, I want you to go back and explore. Mm-hmm. And because I have an IT background. I'm a mainframe systems programmer. And so I'm very highly creative and very geeky left brain. And so I just saw that there was a little crack, and I thought, nobody's cleaned this little crevice. Cleaning this crevice, and I hit this thing, thud. I'm like, oh, my gosh. And pulled out this huge, big, heavy metal pickaxe. And, in fact, there were two of them. One was one that we actually use still today to break rocks. It's a bigger edge and then an actual pick. Mm. And we thought initially that they were from Bedouin in the 40s. In fact, the Bedouin that works with us, Yusuf Ta'amra, his uncles discovered the Dead Sea Scroll.
Wow.
He goes, Rick, I think that's my uncle's tools. And it turns out that we shut the dig down initially. And then Dr. Gutfeld, Oren Gutfeld, my buddy, he was in Israel, and he was in the Israeli Museum, and he sees something on the wall, and he calls Dr. Price in the States. He goes, I think I just saw Rick's pickaxes on the wall at the museum. Those are ancient. And we turned out that we had them studied with the carbon dating and several cave metal experts. I actually had dinner in a Israeli, and actually at the Albright Institute, which is a bed and breakfast for archaeologists in East Jerusalem. I was sitting next to a guy, and we both recognized each other's voices. We turned around and went, oh, my God! You and we met in the cave, and he's an Italian archaeologist, and he's a cave metal expert. I showed it to him. He goes, yeah, those are ancient.
Wow.
He goes, metal current like iron is crap. He goes, when you look at what they did, it was pure iron. I don't know what it is they did, but their metallurgy was unbelievable. And these things were heavy, man.
Wow.
But they are the best preserved pickaxes in the entire world. The Dead Sea preserves everything.
And you found them.
I found them, yeah.
And you brought them back.
Yeah, man.
I think that's great.
I know. It's my claim to fame, baby.
That's a good one.
So have you done any other archaeological things?
It's funny.
That's hard to top.
We had a guy that was digging. Biblical archaeology is fascinating. So the Qumran Plateau and the caves is the only thing I did. But it's interesting is one year we had these guys, and we were digging in the summer initially. And people come out there, and they would just hate it. And one guy was complaining, oh, man, you guys, this is awful, man. It's hot. It's nasty. It's like 115 in the shade. Yeah. It was awful. And he finds this little one of the most beautiful finds we ever had is this Qumran oil lamp. Mm. And this thing didn't have a scratch on it. It was gorgeous. And you could not – he was going to leave on a plane that night. You couldn't pry him off the dig. He was so inspired. So when you find something in the dirt, it's better than Christmas.
Yeah. It's better than 115 degrees in the shade.
Yeah. It's better than a sharp stick in the eye, right?
Ow.
So who would figure that you're doing what you're doing now, but you had this, I'm going to call it previous life?
Yeah, it's funny. It's like mutually reflective because And it's funny, when you do cross-disciplinary types of things, they find a way to attach each other. And so I do the Lord's Prayer in Hebrew. I learned to read, write, and speak in Hebrew because of my inspiration of the Dead Sea Scrolls. And I do that in my shows, and that's how I bring in a little bit of the archaeology. And it's fascinating. And when C.S. Lewis used to say, one should read old books to let the breezes of the century blow through your mind. And Hebrew, the ancient language, like the Psalms, are so beautiful in Hebrew.
Right.
I could quote all this stuff. It's really, but it's actually romantic. Like David in Psalm, I think it's 86, what is it, 86:11? Or 86:10, it says, in English, it says, mercy and truth have met together, and righteousness and peace have kissed. In Hebrew, it's chesed ve'emet nifgashu, tzadik v'shalom nishaku. Nifgashu, they met, nishaku, they kissed. Nifgashu, nishaku. See how it rhymes?
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. It is beautiful.
Yeah.
Wow.
David, the great songwriter, too.
Yeah. Wow. Man, he's got us speechless here.
Yeah. And we know you're on a timeline.
Well, yeah.
So would you close
sure.
with another song?
Sure, absolutely.
That would be great. And so we're listening to Rick Schuller. He has he's a John Denver tribute singer, and he's performing at the Westport Playhouse, folks. May 10, 11, 12, go to MetroTix. Use the promo code SUNSHINE for half-off tickets.
Yeah, I'll just say this real quick, is that John Denver was with his songwriting friend, Joe Henry, and they were exploring Colorado in 1970, and they came across an old abandoned mine. And in the mine was, on a crumbled wall, was written two words. It was painted, follow me. And they wrote this song.
Wow.
And it's about, it's really not about sentiment as much as it is about adventure and wanting someone to share it with you. It's by far the hardest thing I've ever done, to be so in love with you and so alone. Follow me where I go, what I do, who I know. Make it part of you to be a part of me. Follow me up and down, all the way and all around. Take my hand, say you'll follow me. It's long been on my mind, you know it's been a long, long time. I try to find a way that I can make you understand. The way I feel about you is just how much I need you to be there where I can talk to you when there's no one else around. Follow me where I go, what I do, who I know. Make it part of you to be a part of me. Follow me up and down, all the way and all around. Take my hand and say, follow me. See, I'd like to share my life with you and show you things I've seen, places that I'm going to and places where I've been. Have you there beside me, will never be alone. And all the time that you're with me, we will be at home. Follow me where I go, what I do, who I know. Make it part of you to be a part of me. Follow me up and down, all the way and all around. Take my hand and say you'll follow me.
Wow. Man, I could listen to that all day long.
Here we go again. Yeah, wow. Quite an interpretation. Yeah, He's going to rush over to Channel 2. When you're done, come back, will you?
Sure, man. Hey, you guys want to go on a dig with me, man? We got to wait for some things to settle down over there first.
Yeah. Rick Schuller, it's been an honor for us to have you on St. Louis in 2.
What a pleasure meeting y'all and getting a chance to have a hang time.
Wow. Yeah, this has been fun.
It was great. We really appreciate it.
I do too as well. Thank you, guys. Thank you, folks.
All right. We will be right back. We're going to take a brief break. This is Arnold Stricker with Mark Langston of St. Louis in Tune. This is Arnold Stricker of St. Louis in Tune on behalf of the Dred Scott Heritage Foundation. In 1857, the Dred Scott decision was a major legal event and catalyst that contributed to the Civil War. The decision declared that Dred Scott could not be free because he was not a citizen. The 14th Amendment, also called the Dred Scott Amendment, granted citizenship to all born or naturalized here in our country and was intended to overturn the U.S. Supreme Court decision on July 9, 1868. The Dred Scott Heritage Foundation is requesting a commemorative stamp to be issued from the U.S. Postal Service to recognize and remember the heritage of this amendment by issuing a stamp with the likeness of the man Dred Scott. But we need your support and the support of thousands of people who would like to see this happen. To achieve this goal, we ask you to download, sign, and share the one-page petition with others. To find the petition, please go to dredscottlives.org and click on the Dred Scott petition drive on the right side of the page. On behalf of the Dred Scott Heritage Foundation, this has been Arnold Stricker of St. Louis in Tune.
You know, each time that we plan a show for St. Louis in Tune, we strive to bring you informative, useful, and reflective stories, as well as interviews about current and historic issues and events that involve people, places, and things. And while St. Louis in Tune originates from the Gateway City and covers local topics, we also connect what's going on nationally as well. Our topics cover a wide range of arts, crime, education, employment, faith, finance, food, health, history, housing, humor, justice, sports, and that's just to name a few. We know there's many radio stations, programs, even podcasts that you could be listening to, and we're glad that you've chosen to listen to St. Louis in Tune. If you've missed any of our previously aired programs of St. Louis in Tune, simply visit stlintune.com. That's stlintune.com. There, you'll find every show from our first to our most current. Use the search engine to look for a show that might interest you from one of the many topics that we've covered. And drop us a line and tell us how we're doing. You can do that at stlintune@gmail.com. That's stlintune@gmail.com. St. Louis in Tune, heard Monday through Friday on the usradionetwork.com. And many great radio stations around the U.S. and, of course, right here in St. Louis. And don't forget, check out our website, stlintune.com. That's stlintune.com.
Wow, Mark, that was some unbelievable kinds of stuff.
That was fun.
That was a lot of fun.
He's a fun guy.
He is. And when you're, you know, when people have fun like that and they're doing what they're doing, you can't help but get involved with what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know?
He said that he had mentioned that interpretation, I think that was the best word of how to describe his music. He does an interpretation of John Denver and brings it back to life. I guess that's where, now I'm finally finding all the words. But yeah, it's an interpretation and bringing John Denver back because he's gone.
And seeing people in the moment, seeing people live when they perform, it is the moment. It is. There's electricity about it. And there's something that you remember and something that makes the music even more valuable to your ears.
And and I still do this too, I'm afraid. But I will say, I think Michael Martin Murphy is coming to St. Louis. And I told my wife Maria today, I said, we're probably not going to see him many more times.
Right.
And I'd like to go see that concert. And that's where I find myself falling into these, into that, is I want to go see this person before we lose them, mm-hmm. where we can't see them anymore. There's a lot of artists like that, that we should take a moment and go and see, and just so you can remember it, have some memories of it.
And a lot of them are doing their retirement bands or gigs or right. go away groups or whatever.
They I know are. You're going, I don't want to see that, but Jesse, you really do want to see it.
And sometimes you see an artist who, you know, especially vocalists, rock musicians mm-hmm. that have, you know, blown their pipes out.
Yeah.
And they're doing what they can. And it's right. not like it is mm-hmm. when you heard it on the record or no. things like that. But uh-huh. again, it is, you're seeing the artist. The Rolling Stones, they just keep going and going. It's yeah. like the Energizer Bunny.
Yeah. But one day it'll be over. And it's nice to have the memories of that. That would be. I saw the Rolling Stones at the Kiel Opera House. It's crazy.
Yes. I remember Elton John at the Kiel Opera House. Or the auditorium.
Oh, that's 10,000 people. The Opera House was about, I think, 2,800 or yeah. something. So a little more intimate.
Much more intimate.
Yeah, it was venue. A weird thing they were doing that year.
Yeah.
They were going
and
to
then
small
they played
venue.
The Dome a couple
yeah,
of
I
years
know,
ago.
I know. It's like, what are you doing? I know. But it's nice to see the live performances. It's a gift.
Yes.
I mean, it is a gift. It's a gift. I challenge you to sit down and start playing the piano like Elton John.
No way.
I know. It's like, where does this come from? And sing at the same time.
Yeah, and perform.
Mm-hmm.
Put on a I don't want to say put on a show. Put on a performance. Mm-hmm. And because he had his outfits and everything,
yeah.
and he pushed off the piano, like was leaping
right,
back.
Right.
But it's the whole performance. Mm-hmm. And I thought what you said in reminding us about his interpretation, it's the mm-hmm. interpretation mm-hmm. that really speaks of John Denver. Mm-hmm. And Rick Schuller did a great job of that. I want to remind folks, again, those performances are out at Westport Playhouse. And they will go over Mother's Day, and it's May 10th, 11th, and 12th. May 10th, 7:30. May 11th, 2 p.m. and 7:30. Sunday, May 12th at 2 p.m. Tickets are on sale at MetroTix and 314-534-1111. Use the promo code SUNSHINE to save half off tickets. And a couple
Which is great.
Oh, absolutely.
Come on. Half yeah. off?
And if you listen to this show, you know that.
You should go.
Otherwise, you're going to pay full price.
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
So I cut a little of his, he's got on his website, rickschulermusic.com, mm-hmm. rickschulermusic.com. This is a compilation of some of the John Denver songs we're going to listen to here.
You fill up my senses like a night in a forest. You fill up my senses. Come fill me again. Country roads, take me home to the place I belong. West Virginia. Mama, take me home down country road. Colorado, Rocky Mountain High. And I've seen it rain and fire in the sky. Shadow from the starlight is softer than a lullaby. Rocky Mountain. On the water looks so lovely. Sunshine almost always
makes me high.
Yeah. What?
Different kind of high.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
So if you missed the first part of the interview, folks, you can catch it on stlintune.com. We'll post that, stlintune.com. Just what a great guy in the whole archaeology gig thing.
Mm-hmm.
That was crazy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to have to look that stuff up.
He digs it.
Have we moved to the joke section? No, the humor section already?
I couldn't help it.
That sounds like something I would say.
He digs archaeology. What did he say? Cool? Or no.
Groovy.
No, he said something else. Yeah, it was a
far out.
Far out. That's what he said. He used the word far out in the interview. You'll have to go back and listen to far out.
Left off.
I know. he's so talented, though. I know we're laughing, but.
And he's a St. Louisan.
Yeah, he's not here to defend himself. Yes, I know. He is. Where'd he go? To Eureka?
Eureka and. He said Southwest and Eureka.
How about that? I know it. And he's over discovering stuff in Israel. And
yeah, and what's interesting about his performances, he's going to be in October, the John Denver Day out in Monterey, California. Mm. But next year, he's got
2025.
An Asian Pacific tour planned.
Ooh.
And that's in the fall of 25 and the spring of 25, a European tour planned.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty great. Yeah. That's the audience getting warmed up for him. I know.
So I know we didn't do our return to civility because we were pressed.
Yeah, he was under the gun.
With getting him there, and we'll postpone that, but I do have a great word of the day.
Oh, good. Let's hear this.
And I've heard this one for a long time, and I can't believe that I saw it on something like it was a new word, but maybe it was a word that had been used a long time and finally got accepted into the dictionary.
Okay.
Futz.
Okay, you'll have to spell that for all of us.
F-U-T-Z, futz.
Okay. Sorry.
Okay. Quit futzing around. You remember that one?
I do.
Wasting time.
Yeah.
Aimlessly being idle. She futzed around in the kitchen.
Is that putzed around too?
That could be too.
Could that be a futzed around? Futzed around.
I saw that and I was like, I remember hearing that from my mom.
Mm-hmm.
I remember saying that.
Really? Your mom said it?
Oh, yeah. My mom said it. That I recall. I remember saying it to some kids, too.
Quit
futzing around. Get going.
Yeah. Come on. You're wasting our time.
You're wasting our time.
Quit futzing around.
Futzing around, yeah. Have you used that before?
Maybe just a few times. I could probably count them all on one hand. Not many. I know that.
Has it ever been placed upon you?
many times it's been placed on me. I know, especially when it was time to get up and go to school.
that's especially right.
Yep.
Now you have some days of the day, Mark.
Yeah, I was just looking at it. It's Mother's Day in Mexico. They do it a little before we do ours. Mother's Day, I'm not sure when you're hearing the show, but it's this Sunday, and this is a Friday. So today is actually Mother's Day in Mexico. Child Care Provider Day. Hey, can you imagine being a child care provider?
No.
That's a calling.
That's a whole lot of stuff.
I know. How about National Clean Your Room Day, will ya?
Oh, yeah, quit futzing around and clean your room.
I know the yeah. Okay. And your favorite sport, golf, National Golf Day.
That's
cut fun. That out right
National
now.
National Day today.
I know. National Military Spouse Appreciation Day.
Okay.
Now, that should be probably a couple
Every
of times.
Day.
Yeah, a couple times during the year or something like that. National Public Gardens. Do you know of any really good public gardens?
City Garden downtown.
There you
go. It's maintained by an outside group, private group. It's gorgeous. Beautiful flowers, beautiful plants, unbelievable sculptures.
Wow. See? So this is the day to appreciate it.
Yes.
Go take a walk. And that Trust Your Intuition Day.
Mm.
This is one.
Should be every day, too.
I know. One Day Without Shoes Day. I'm not supposed to wear shoes. I'm actually wearing Crocs. I never
That's
wear Crocs.
Croc?
that's like your other word. Yeah, it's a croc. A croc on what? Okay.
Molasses.
That's it. Okay. Yeah. I used to walk around as a kid without shoes.
Yeah.
Then I got splinters. And that was it. It wasn't the rocks. It was the splinters that got me.
Yeah, the gravel.
Did we say Trust Your Intuition Day? Did we mention that? National Small Business Day. Yeah.
Big thing.
Isn't that is really true. It's Bono's birthday. Who cares?
Yeah.
I didn't say that out loud, did I? He said it. Archery day. Oh, birth mother's day. Brunch for lunch day.
Yeah. Have you ever eaten breakfast for dinner?
All the time.
Yeah. I love breakfast for dinner.
Yeah. We do that quite a bit around our house. Yeah. Do you all do that?
Yeah. I like eggs, and I could eat cereal for all three meals.
And this is one for Amy, your wife. It's dog mom day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that's fun. National Babysitter Day comes right after the other one. Let's see. National Train Day. Have you ever taken a train?
Yes. Took a train in Chicago.
Did you now? Yeah. Did you now?
It was funny. We got to, where were we? We were in Springfield, and just past Springfield, and the train stopped. We were like, why are they stopping? And the police got on and took somebody off. I guess they hadn't paid for their ticket.
No. Yeah. Really? Usually it's because of the freight trains. They have to pull over.
We had to wait for a little bit for one track.
Now, yeah, I know. It's like, where are we here? We're in one of the greatest countries in the world.
And 2024, we got to wait for a freight train.
And we can't have our own track for high-speed rail or even quick. Where
are now, going from when we were in Europe, we're in France. Uh-huh. We took the train 185 miles an hour. And
doesn't that scare you, though?
And we were going, it was right by the highway, and it was great.
Doesn't that scare you, though?
Oh, no.
What if it came off the track? You're done. That's it.
That's true.
Wow, that is fast. That's what scares me.
A bullet train.
Yeah, they want to make them, some kid get funny and start throwing stuff on the track.
But these are all protected.
Ooh, okay. That might make me feel better about it then. That would make me. First time I got on a train, it was not until later in life when I took the Cub Scouts. I was doing my Cub Scout dad thing.
Where'd you go?
We went to Springfield to go to the Lincoln Museum, which is a whole show in itself.
That's a great show.
We should go up there and do a show from the Lincoln Museum.
That would be. We had actually had a guy on who was he collected artifacts for them and did a great thing about the Lincoln's Gettysburg Address.
So it was fun to take the train up there, and we're close enough to the museum. We walked.
Yes, it's right there. The thing about the Springfield stop is they stop right in the middle of a street, and you're looking out the window, and there's four lanes of traffic that are backed up.
They're coming after you.
What in the world?
They're cursing you. I got to get to work. You got to get off the train. I know. It's not right. National Mini Golf Day. I don't know if you...
It's National Golf and Mini Golf Day.
Yes. Putt-putt golf. Did you ever do putt-putt?
That's fun.
Yeah. National Windmill Day.
Wow.
I like windmills, but they say it hurts a lot of birds.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
But I guess after a while, there's no birds around them. That's a terrible thing to say, but what are you going to do? Ooh, wait a minute. Stamp Out Hunger food drive today? That's a great one. Let me see if I can find this here. It's Twilight Zone Day.
Seriously?
It is. Science fiction, horror, supernatural, drama, and unexpected twists.
Imagine a day that's dedicated to the Twilight Zone. Okay. Imagine a day that you can just go off and be out in the twilight.
This is all very scary to me. Okay. So there you have it. That's about, I could go on, but I won't. World Ego Awareness Day. Golly, I wish some people I need to remind that of.
A lot of them are in politics.
Yeah, all of them are in politics. They're all, every one of them, checking at the door. Please.
Have you ever used the checkout lanes, the self-checkout lanes?
Oh, well, sure.
I just used the self-checkout in Walmart without needing assistance, and they made me district manager. You know, I got a flat tire the other day and pulled over to change it. Some guy says, "Did your tire go flat?" I said, "No, while I was driving along, the other three swelled up." Oh, my friend took his six-year-old daughter to work on Take Your Kid to Work Day. But when they walked in the office, she started to cry. A concerned staff member gathered around and asked her what was wrong. She said, "Daddy, where are all the clowns you said you work with?"
They're both going home.
Told my wife I wanted to be cremated. She made me an appointment for Tuesday.
Wow. It's a tough room here.
My wife is blaming me for ruining her birthday. Mm. That's ridiculous.
I didn't even know it was her birthday.
Oh, you are so much in trouble.
Yeah. Imagine a man who forgets his wife's birthday. He's a dead man.
And his wedding anniversary.
Started jogging today, Mark?
Really?
I didn't want to, but the ice cream trucks didn't stop.
Oh, my. Wow. This is tough. Wow.
This morning, my kids said their ear hurt, and I said, on the inside or the outside? So they walked out the front door, came back in, and said both. Moments later, this got me wondering if I'm saving too much for college. You know, middle age is just walking around all day muttering things like, what was I going to say? Why did I come in here? Did I already take my pill? How did I get this bruise? Why am I sore? Where did I leave my phone? I don't mind coming to work, but this 8-hour wait to go home is just ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. I know it. I know that feeling.
There's actually, we talked about, there's adult daycare, there's children's mm-hmm. daycare, but mm-hmm. there's a husband daycare center that just opened up. It says this, need time to relax? Need time to yourself? Want to go shopping? Leave your husband with us. We'll look after him for you. You only pay for his drinks.
Wow-wee.
And do you make coffee at home?
I do.
All right.
I do.
So all men should make coffee for their women. Mm-hmm. It says it right in the Bible. Hebrews.
Wow. Are you running out of these jokes?
I've got tons of these.
Oh, great. Oh, well, this is too bad.
Nurse says, what happened to your fingers? Uh-huh. Me. You know those chefs who cut up vegetables real fast? The nurse says, yes. I can't do that.
Get that horse out of here.
Yeah, hey. Sleeping next to someone you love makes you fall asleep faster, mm-hmm. reduces depression, and helps you live longer until they start to snore.
Roll them over. Nudge them. Get them off their back. That's what I can tell you. Oh, my.
Goodness gracious. And in a packed elevator, everyone is silent, but my stomach says, I will now demonstrate the mating call of a whale.
Okay.
Has it ever happened to you? Like,
yes, it has. I know.
And everybody keeps looking up at the numbers.
I know, right? They are very nice. Very nice. We're going to start talking about bodily noise.
That's really all I have today, Mark.
I got nothing either. It's been a good show so far. And Rick was great to have Rick on.
Rick did a wonderful job.
Yeah. Rick Schuller.
Rick Schuller, folks, a John Denver tribute singer. Uh-huh. His show is Rocky Mountain High Experience.
Oh, I didn't mean that. We didn't mean to laugh at it.
No, Rocky Mountain High Experience. Metro Tix, go there. It's at the Westport Playhouse, May 10, 11, 12. Mm-hmm. And you can call 314-534-1111. And don't forget to use the promo code SUNSHINE to save half off on tickets.
And that's only for St. Louis In Tune.
Only for St. Louis In Tune listeners.
Mm-hmm. So take advantage of that.
That's correct.
Call before midnight tonight. Don't forget.
But wait. And if you're used to those
free shipping
late night shows, we've cut the price in half, even more. That's all for this hour. We thank you for listening, folks. If you've enjoyed this episode, you can listen to additional shows at stlintune.com. Consider leaving a review on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, or your preferred podcast platform. Your feedback helps us reach more listeners and continue to grow. I want to thank Bob Berthesel for our theme music and co-host Mark Langston. And we thank you for being a part of our community of curious minds. St. Louis In Tune is a production of Motif Media Group and the U.S. Radio Network. Remember to keep seeking, keep learning, walk worthy, and let your light shine. For St. Louis In Tune, I'm Arnold Stricker.